Life just got a little better, thanks to Merry Man Herbs.
Listen in to Merry Man Herbs, It's a Better Life show, every first and third Sunday on 1340 Radio AM for the latest in holistic, natural, and alternative health information. Mike King will bring you a little fun with interesting health tips and the up-to-date, scientifically-based health news. He will interview some of the leading doctors, scientists, and leaders in the holistic health fields. Stay on top of your health and start getting a better life.
Life just got a little better, thanks to Merry Man Herbs.
Today we have with us the Chief of Scientific Affairs and Education for Europharma, Cheryl Myers. Cheryl, how are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
We're going to be talking about iodine. I think it's one of those forgotten essential minerals. People just have completely, I think, you know, with the widespread use of synthetic drugs, you know, iodine used to be recommended, I think, for everything from, you know, healing wounds. I remember the little tincture of iodine to even destroying bacteria and viruses and possibly even preventing cancer. But tell us a little bit about iodine. You know, what is iodine? I know it's the forgotten mineral, but tell us some basics on the iodine.
Well, you're right. It is something of a forgotten mineral. Iodine is a natural mineral. It's called an essential mineral. That means you can't live without it.
Okay.
For example, vitamin C is an essential vitamin because if you don't have vitamin C, you'll get scurvy and eventually die. So the same is true with iodine. If you don't have enough iodine in your diet, you'll get goiter. And if you don't have any iodine, then you could be, your life could actually be at risk. Now, we don't see people getting such low levels of iodine in the United States that they die or that they develop goiters very much anymore, but that doesn't mean that they're getting the optimal amounts. The food sources of iodine, the richest sources are seafood from the ocean.
Okay.
And sea vegetables from the ocean.
Because okay, like the seaweeds and so.
Seaweds and, yeah, some of the sea vegetables. Mostly, half the things you use in Japanese cooking are very rich in iodine.
So like the sushis and things like that. Now, I know
the seaweed and they got the fish from the ocean. Yeah.
I know the minimum daily requirement is way, way low. It's only like 150 micrograms.
Mm-hmm.
And the average Japanese, the last report I got, and they keep upping it, but the last study that they did, I think they get about 14.5 milligrams in their diet a day, and that would include children. And I think you told me at one time it would not be unusual to get maybe 100 to 500 milligrams from a meal.
Depending upon what's being eaten. Now, in the coastal regions of Japan and Okinawa, individuals eating a traditional Japanese diet generally get between 50 and 80 milligrams of iodine a day. So Japan is probably one of the richest nations when it comes to having food sources that have a lot of iodine in it. However, in the United States, our soils are becoming increasingly depleted of minerals,
right,
and so crops have as much as 50% less iodine in them than they did 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah,
so we're kind of in the middle of an iodine crisis. We're not getting as much iodine from our food as we used to. But at the same time, iodine has some competitors. And so we're increasing our ingestion of compounds that actually compete with iodine in the body.
Explain about those, because I know there's chloride, fluoride, bromide, and is it pronounced azanthetine?
Astatine.
Astatine. Oh, okay. Yeah, and that's kind of rare, though.
And chlorine. So
okay.
when we look at iodine, now remember those periodic tables from high school chemistry that look like crossword puzzles?
Yeah.
Well, when you find iodine on the periodic table, if you go up and go down, there's a row, and that whole row is called the halogen family of compounds because they share similar physical characteristics.
Right.
So in our body, every single cell in our body has an iodine receptor. The iodine
Every single cell.
Every cell has an iodine receptor.
So all our cells basically need iodine.
Yes.
Okay. And it's essential.
We'll talk in a moment about certain organs in the body that need more than others.
Okay.
But right now, just looking at it this way, every single cell in the body has an iodine receptor. So think of that receptor as a special chair that fits iodine perfectly. And so iodine sits in that chair. But because iodine has these nasty cousins that are all in the same family, they look enough like iodine that they can squeeze into the chair, too.
So we've got
these toxic cancer-causing compounds like fluoride, bromide and bromines, chlorine. Most people are not going to encounter much in the way of astatine.
Right.
But we've got these cousins. So it's like iodine is the only good kid in the family. It's the overachiever, the straight-A student, the one that helps the little ladies across the street. The other four in the family are knocking over liquor stores and kicking dogs.
Right. So I love your analogy, Cheryl.
So
the bad
family of iodine in that same halogen family are the bromides, fluorides, and fluorines, chlorines, and astatine.
Well, I know they lead to like cancers, and they do a lot of different things that are not good
for us. A lot of damage because they're lookalikes. They're not actually the good kid.
Right.
So they squeeze into that chair, and if they can squeeze into that chair, our body starts to accumulate more of these compounds because it doesn't have enough iodine to sit in the chair. If it had enough iodine and all the chairs were filled, these compounds would be much more easily eliminated from our bodies, and they would not build up, and they wouldn't have some of the toxic effects that they have in our bodies.
That's
another issue. At the same time that the soils are becoming depleted of iodine,
right,
and we have less iodine in our diet, at the same time we have increased our exposure dramatically to iodine's competitors. So when you make coffee and you use a bleached coffee filter, or if you have tea bags and yet that the paper of the tea bag is bleached white because we like everything to be white because it looks clean and pure.
Right.
So we bleach all these papers so that they look good. Well, when you run hot water through them, hot water is a great solvent. So not only do you get coffee, not only do you get tea, you get some of the chlorine leaching into your beverages as well.
Right.
We use chlorine in our laundry detergent, in our laundry. We use chlorine in our swimming pools, in our hot tubs.
It's in our water supply, too. I mean, they use that
chlorine
to,
in water supply as water purification.
Pathogens, right.
It's just ridiculous.
And bromides and brominated vegetable oils, which is even in some of the sodas, they've taken it out. They've taken iodine out of bread making, so it's in a lot of the breads. And I know that there's the hyperchlorite rocket fuel production and fertilizer and all that kind of stuff, and that gets even into our produce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy. Everywhere.
It's just a perfect storm of if you wanted to create a problem in the human body, if you wanted to do a study, let's say we were evil scientists. scientists, and we want to do a study, and we want to take a whole huge 300 million population. It's like, let's see how much we can mess them up with their lack of exposure to iodine. What would you do? Well, you would take it out of the diet as much as possible, and you would increase as much as possible their exposure to all these compounds that compete with iodine in the body. So you mentioned bread making. Well, back in the 70s and 80s, up until that time, iodine was used as a dough conditioner.
Exactly, right, yeah.
It was in all the commercial baked goods. One single slice of bread had your entire minimum daily amount of iodine. Well, they decided to go then with brominated flour, and it's hard to find. You can find flour now that's not brominated, but you have to look for it. But these bromides in the flour started to be used as a dough conditioner.
Yeah, because
it
helped to
keep
the...
And now we've got all that stuff coming into our body. So instead of getting iodine when we eat baked goods, we actually get iodine's competitor that drives iodine down in our bodies.
Yeah, I think they use bromide because, you know, they have these big bread hooks, and the bromide kind of worked a little bit better than the iodine. And is it cheaper?
I'd have to imagine that it is. But there must have been some reason why commercial bakeries moved completely to using bromination or brominated flour. And you also made another big one that we didn't even know that brominated vegetable oils, that's vegetable oils that have bromides added, were in a lot of citrus soft drinks to stabilize the flavor and taste feel, like Mountain Dew.
Exactly. You said it. I didn't.
I mean, we thought Mountain Dew was toxic because it made our kids crazy with all the caffeine. But, and then the sugars, of course, but who knew?
And then
wasn't even listed on the label.
It has a carcinogen in it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just really, really scary. Now, okay, so all of these bad boys, all these toxic halogens are getting into our body. They get into our tissues. Now, it's my understanding that if you get enough iodine, that's going to go in and knock it out, and it'll actually come out through your urine. What's the exact process that's going on here?
Well, you're absolutely right. And I know that in a little bit we'll talk about why and when we should be supplementing with iodine to try to restore those healthy levels. However, it is true that if you knock those bad boys off their seats, they got to come out somewhere. And some of them do come out through the urine. Some of them come out in your perspiration in your skin.
Ah, okay.
So I've had individuals who are using iodine and trying to use a more medicinal amount.
I bet they'll start itching.
And they start itching, and they think, oh, my God, I'm allergic to iodine.
I've had that happen with my customers. I'm like, no, that's a, liver detox, Herxheimer, whatever you want to call it, but that's your body, getting rid of the toxic halogens.
You know, there's a book out there called Iodine, Why You Need It, Why You Can't Live Without It.
By Brownstein.
David Brownstein.
Yes, he's a great guy.
Wonderful book.
Yes.
And in fact, I think that he's one of the contributors to the revolutionary way that we're using iodine today, to use it more as a medicine when needed, and how powerful its benefits can be. But there's a story he tells in his book that I'll never forget. He had a lady come to him that had breast cancer, and her doctor just said, there's nothing more we can do for you. You've had the chemo, you've had this, you've had that, and you've got 2 or 3 months to live. And so she went to him and said, listen, I know that you're doing some unusual things in your practice. I don't care what you do to me. Experiment, give me whatever you think. I just want to be comfortable, and if I can live a little bit longer, that would be wonderful. So he said, I've been with breast cancer, especially I've been doing a lot of work with iodine. She's like, fine. So he gave her 50 milligrams of iodine a day, which is a pretty hefty dose.
Yeah, but it's still not crazy, right?
It's not dangerous, but it's a pretty high dose,
right?
Compared to what we're getting in our food, and especially since she was probably getting very little, and then all of a sudden she was getting a lot.
Right.
So a couple of days later, she called him and said, something has happened. She said, I went to bed. She had on a little white cotton nightie that she slept in, her little nightgown, and she said, I woke up and there were brown stains all over my nightgown. And he said, I don't know what's happening. And she says, I don't have any wounds. I don't have any open areas. This is just bizarre. So he said, bring the nightgown in. So she brought the nightgown in, and they tested all those brown stains, and they were all bromides that had come out while she was sleeping, and through her perspiration. And she had such a high concentration of bromides, which is linked to breast cancer. She had such a high concentration that when hers came out, there were enough of them that they actually darkened the fabric that absorbed the perspiration. And he said that so crystallized his understanding of the fact that iodine is pushing these things out of the body. And this lady did have good quality of life, and I know she lived over a year, so she got much more time than she expected. She did eventually succumb to her disease, but it was a very enriched experience for her and a wonderful learning experience for Dr. Brownstein on how to help individuals by using iodine as a medical tool.
Well, I know different tissues absorb iodine differently. You know, we kind of just briefly touched that it's on in all the tissues, but I know breast tissue, for example, really likes to absorb not just iodine, but all these other toxic halogens. I think the ovaries are another big one. And I think in men, the prostate, of course, prostate tissue and breast tissue are analogous or very similar. They look almost the same under the microscope. Obviously, your thyroid gland loves to suck up that iodine. And I remember on TV one time watching, it was one of the leading ENTs from, I think, Emory University, and being interviewed by one of the major newscasters. And they were saying, well, there's really nothing we can do if you have issues with your thyroid other than cut it out and put you on the, you know, synthetic medications. And we don't know why women have more of an incidence of thyroid disease than men. And I thought, man, these leading doctors and conventional medical doctors are not even looking at the scientific literature and all the clinical studies. And I kind of wonder if they, you know, this was a leading doctor. I was like, I can't believe that you don't know that women have a lot more tissues than men that like to absorb the iodine. And I think I've talked to you in the past about, you know, different formulations and different forms of iodine. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you're absolutely right that there's lots of different tissues in the body that utilize iodine, so it is very crucial. And everybody knows that the one gland in the body that is the most dependent on iodine for health and proper functionality is the thyroid gland.
Yes.
One of the biggest things that can go wrong with the thyroid gland, and one of the reasons why more women have thyroid issues than men, has to do with an autoimmune disease. Now, this autoimmune disease may, in fact, we don't know yet, there's a lot more research that needs to be done, but may, in fact, be triggered by excessive exposure to iodine's competitors and not enough iodine on board. And women in general are far more susceptible to autoimmune diseases because their immune systems, this is one time when I can say that women have something over guys. maybe we can turn it around and say guys have something over women. Men have a more simple immune system.
Right.
Women have an incredibly complex immune system. Why? Because women have to carry, or have the ability to carry, a whole different human being in their bodies without rejecting that other human
with
being.
With sometimes a different immune system.
Right.
Yeah.
So you might have a baby that you're carrying that's different blood, different immune system,
right,
different this, different that, and you can't attack it like a foreign invader. So our immune system has a much higher level of complexity so that it can shift and accommodate some of these challenges and recognize that sometimes the things that are not like self are not necessarily like are necessarily invaders, and
need
that's why
attacked,
women can carry a baby without rejecting that tissue.
Exactly.
The problem then is that when you have anything with greater complexity, there's more places where it can break. And so when it comes to women, they have a lot more issues with autoimmunity because it's more complex. There's more places where it can be damaged, more places where it can break. Now, you mentioned breast and prostate tissue, absolutely. Those are some other areas of the body that are dependent upon iodine for healthy function. The brain is absolutely dependent on iodine for proper functionality. This is taking a step aside, but did you know that the number one cause of preventable, what we used to call mental retardation, now they're calling it intellectual disability,
mm-hmm,
is low iodine, low
really?
Suboptimal iodine levels.
That's just
the number one cause.
Okay. Yeah.
In fact, the World Health Organization has an initiative to try to get iodine into women before they get pregnant and enough iodine while they're pregnant in a lot of developing countries so that their babies are born with a better chance of healthy mental functioning.
Well, see, that's
how important iodine is for brain.
Right. This just brought up another big thing that I'm aware of, and that's women, you know, when the fetus, the baby's being developed, if they're very low on iodine, then that child is going to maybe have a lot of issues with their thyroid and have a lot of issues with the need for iodine. So it's very important for women that are pregnant and trying to, you know, develop that baby to make sure that their iodine levels are not really low. And that's another thing, you know, how do you get your iodine tested? How do we do that?
Well, it's not always the easiest thing in the world. There are ways to test. Some of the individuals have used the cotton ball iodine test. And for some people it works, and for some people it doesn't.
The little home, put a little bit
little
on your skin.
Home thing. They take some iodine,
yeah,
they put it on a cotton ball, they put a little orange streak on their arm, and then they see how quickly that streak goes away. But, you know, and sometimes that is an indicator. When people have low iodine, sometimes it's absorbed very quickly.
Right.
But some things can get in the way of that. Age, for example. So older people, their skin, the way that their skin absorbs,
sure, things, sure,
changes tremendously. So I don't want to say it's like an entirely diagnostic.
It's kind of a home test.
Kind
you know,
of.
It's kind of like if you have acid reflux and you take a little bit of the the vinegars or whatever, and if the acid reflux goes away, then maybe you actually do have low acid, but it's not 100% accurate.
No, it isn't. But I do know individuals that use that.
Oh, yeah, I've got a lot of customers. We sell, what is it, the Thugol solution?
Yeah.
And I've got a lot of customers that will initially do that, and about 90% of the time, it's very indicative. I mean, it does kind of really work as a home test.
Right. And so, but as I said, if it doesn't work, then and people have all the symptoms of being suboptimal, then I would say, well, maybe this is just not the right test for you. You could look for iodine in the blood. Most doctors aren't going to run that test. Most of what I look at is symptomology. If you have had breast cancer or currently have breast cancer, if you've had prostate cancer or currently have it, something's going on with your iodine status. I'm not saying that's the only cause. I don't want to say if you have enough iodine, you will never have these issues.
Yeah, right.
But what I'm saying is there's a very sophisticated dance that's going on there, because our iodine is used by the cells in the body that respond to the sex hormones. So when you look at let's just talk breast and prostate for now, but breast tissue responds to estrogen. So if a woman starts on an estrogen-based birth control pill, sometimes her breasts swell, and she gets some breast discomfort because the breast cells are just incredibly responsive to that estrogen. When women become pregnant and the hormones change, the breast changes also. So breast tissue is very, 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 very sensitive to the estrogen family of compounds. In men, the prostate gland is very, very sensitive to the testosterone family of compounds. Now, there's a lot of things in our environment that can cause abnormal reactions in these breast and prostate cells because they look like hormones. They're called xenoestrogens.
Yes.
Xeno meaning foreign.
Foreign.
They look like it, but they're not. So we've got like the one of the big culprits that most of your listeners may have heard of is the BPA, bisphenol A.
In the plastics. Yes.
This is a plasticizer. When you get when you get that into your body, even if it's trace amounts, it accumulates over time and tells your breast tissue, hey, I'm kind of like estrogen. So,
yeah.
And it may cause some abnormal duplications
cell
of cells in
right.
the breast tissue. The way that iodine works is it's kind of like an intermediary.
Ah.
And so it helps the breast tissue and that helps the prostate tissue respond more appropriately when true hormones are present,
mm-hmm.
and it helps shield them somewhat from the effects of the false hormones.
Okay.
So if you have enough iodine in the breast tissue, then they are your breast cells are going to be more resistant to the negative carcinogenic effects of compounds that look like estrogens. And the same is true in the prostate tissue.
So it's a big support there then. It's one of these things that you can
crucial.
Use. Like, you know, we do take vitamin C and all this to boost our immune system. So this is actually boosting, you know, the effects of the carcinogens that are trying to wreak havoc, the xenoestrogens. And this is like another protective shield that your body can use.
Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about, you had mentioned earlier, forms of iodine.
Right.
There is more than one form of iodine.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I bet you your folks have questions about.
Different forms go different places.
At.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we've got a lot of different forms of iodine. Now, most people are familiar with calcium.
Right.
Just going to use this as an example. It has nothing to do with our discussion. They know that there's calcium carbonate, there's calcium citrate, there's calcium phosphate. Minerals are attached to other things.
Right.
So you've got the elemental mineral, in this case iodine, but then if they're minerals by their nature need to be, they are chemically attached to some other compound. Now, to be honest, iodine goes everywhere in your body, and iodine does everything. But some tissues have a slight preference for one form over the other.
Okay,
so
that makes sense.
So when we look at breast and prostate tissue,
mm-hmm.
the studies on those tissues have mostly been done using molecular iodine.
Okay.
Molecular iodine is kind of their favorite flavor. But when you look at the thyroid gland has a slight preference for iodine that is attached to
potassium.
You know, like potassium
right.
iodide or
right.
that sort of thing.
Because that's what I know with Fukushima, they were like, everybody was wanting the potassium iodine, and I was like, you know, you want more of a holistic iodine because different tissues use different iodine.
Right.
Of course, the potassium is going to help protect your thyroid, but you also maybe have breasts. You have a prostate or ovaries
mm-hmm.
or salivary glands. That's another one that likes the iodine too.
Absolutely. And then you've got, so let's come back to that radiation because I get a lot of questions.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Sodium iodide is
yes.
the most soluble form of iodine.
Okay, all right, because I've heard and seen that.
And it facilitates the absorption of the other two forms.
Like a catalyst, kind of?
Something like that,
okay.
Yeah. So when we look at products that are put together specifically to help individuals be more replete in
right.
iodine, then they themselves need to be more complete in the types of iodine that are contained within them.
Okay. And so if you were looking for a product that would, you know, have all of that, I know there's Iodorol, which has potassium and elemental, but I think, doesn't your company make a wonderful product called Tri-Iodine that's more holistic, that actually has that sodium iodine as a catalyst in it?
Yes. One of the things I do like, our company does have a product called Tri-Iodine. That's the three forms of iodine so that you get a broader spectrum of coverage. But I've got to say one thing is that I do like taking iodine in capsular form
uh-huh.
more than I like taking it as a liquid.
Oh.
I know there are some
yeah.
liquids out there because so many individuals have issues with proper dosing.
Right.
And I like to know exactly how many milligrams individuals are taking at any given time.
Oh, you bet. Yeah.
If they're trying to replicate a clinical study, they need to know they're getting the same dose every time, not a little bit more some days and a little bit less others. So I do in this case. Sometimes I like liquids, but in this case I'm a little bit more in favor. I'm in the camp of the individuals that are using iodine more in capsular form.
And let's talk a little bit about that, because there's a lot of different doses. I know that, and I think your company also makes a 3 milligram. There's a 6.25, a 12.5. 25 milligram, 50 milligram. And again, a lot of times when you get into the higher doses, sometimes it's better to be working with a qualified healthcare practitioner. But I know that I have customers that have issues, a lot of issues. They're very sensitive. Maybe they have not even tried iodine before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times what we will do is we will educate them and say, you know, you may want to start out on one of these lower dosages so you don't get uncomfortable. So you don't itch, so maybe you don't even, sometimes you could get a little headache or a little fatigue or just feel a little bit off, because your body is going to be dumping all these toxic halogens and probably other toxins too out of your body. And I've had a number of customers that have started out on a lower dose and then worked up, particularly the ones that have MTHFR and are extremely sensitive to things. And it's been a wonderful thing. I mean, they start out very slowly. They don't get very uncomfortable. In fact, a lot of times they feel good. It makes them feel better. You get kind of a cleansing effect with the iodine. And then the bottom line, you know, it's going to be helping to prevent cancer and doing and cleaning all these toxic halogens and helping maybe with the xenoestrogens and all of that. I mean, it's just a fantastic, you know, essential elemental mineral, and it also has a lot of antiseptic properties to it too.
Well, I really believe one of the things I hear most from individuals is when they started getting iodine back to where it should be, is boost their energy.
Yes,
so
my
it,
wife.
It really can make a nice difference in energy boosting because of it, because your thyroid gland really, really, really needs iodine.
Sure, and that's going to, right there you said the iodine for your thyroid, and that's going to segue us into our next segment that we're going to do. We're going to be talking about how the different forms of iodine, talking about iodine, but you know how your thyroid really needs this iodine and all the wonderful things it can do. And there's some other things that you can do for your thyroid too. And I think we can, not just iodine, but I think what there's L-tyrosine, there's some other compounds too. And there's different issues that you can have with your thyroid, and we'll be talking about more about that in the future. Cheryl, thank you so much. Is there anything quickly that you want to add?
Only that that this is a very safe intervention to try, because we offer a variety of dosages. Just for what one of the reasons you say is that people can titrate until they're comfortable.
Right.
If you are looking at using higher dose iodine or using it for a very serious illness, I would strongly encourage you, please work with a physician.
Yes.
Or an integrative healthcare practitioner of some sort to help you on your journey so that you get the most optimal health benefits.
Cheryl, thank you so much, and I really love the way you explain things. You make it fun and easy, and we'll be talking with you soon.
Thank you so much. I look forward to it.
Okay.
The preceding information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. It is for educational purposes only. Always seek the advice of your qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding your medical condition.